feel more comfortable being able to pay for being here today. Yesterday morning was lovely. Last night was not lovely. And I don't know what today is yet because I was out when it was dark out, so I don't know what it's like. But I want to recap. Something that I talked to you about in August. And so I need to recap it to, because it all, you need it to all tie together. My role here is the worship pastor. And so what I'm telling you about is really what the worship team has been working on for quite a while. In 2017, the beginning of the year, we felt very strongly the Lord was leading us to exalt him. And it was a focus of only exalting him. Now, when I say that, you might like to feel, duh. But there's a lot of songs that don't exalt God. They do. They're beautiful songs. They're wonderful songs musically to listen to, but they really don't exalt God. So exalting God. And then we prayed that he would be revealed to people. Because in your life, you need God revealed to you where you are. And when that happens, it starts changing us. The third thing is that he would be encountered. And that an encounter, a face-to-face encounter with God will transform you and change you forever. And so that became our prayer. And so all of 2017, that was our prayer. We prayed it every Sunday over you. Actually, we still pray it every Sunday over the congregation. But in November of last year, the story about the woman at the well from John 4, where Jesus comes to the woman at the well and he says to her, he asks her for water, and she was a Samaritan woman, and Jewish people did not talk to Samaritan people. And she was very surprised, and his statement to her was, if you knew who I was, you would ask me for water. And that started a conversation with the worship team about the living water and the fact that the Father is seeking worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. And what does that mean? So the truth part of it, and I always have to make this disclaimer, I'm going to talk for maybe 25 minutes today. There's no way I can cover this comprehensively. So that's why you have notes that have scriptures. So I encourage you to look at the scriptures. To, when you're home, look at the scriptures. Ask God to tell you what it is, because you can't cover anything that fast. It's impossible. So the truth part that we talked about was the truth of Jesus Christ, and that when we come to him in truth, we come to him with transparency. We let him see us how we are. We don't put a mask on. We don't pretend with God. He's not fooled by our pretense. We can't posture before God because he's not fooled by our posturing. And so we come to him with complete openness. We can trust him, and I understand people have trust issues, so that takes a while to learn. But that's part of the truth. Part of the truth is that in the Old Testament, there was the tabernacle in the wilderness. And there's all this, I mean, such detail in the Old Testament about the tabernacle. And then again in Ezekiel, they talk about the temple. And Ezekiel 47, and I referenced it in your notes for you to be able to see it later, I believe. But Ezekiel 7 talks about the temple and this water that came out from the temple. And that this water that came out from the temple that flowed, that beside the banks of the river, there were trees, and those trees bore fruit every month. Now, that's not how fruit trees produce. But beside this river, it was every single month, new fruit. And the fruit was for food, and the leaves for healing. There was so much fish in this river that people were standing shoulder to shoulder fishing. Now, I don't know if you guys have watched people fish. They don't stand shoulder to shoulder. They stand spaced out. But this had shoulder to shoulder, so there's this abundance. So this concept of the temple in the Old Testament, Solomon's temple, again, all this detail. Then Ezekiel talks about this river coming out of the temple that has all this excess to give away. And then when Jesus Christ comes on the scene, it changed forever because the temple no longer was a building. It was you. And Jesus is very clear that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And all that attention that he devoted to the temple in the Old Testament is now you. And some of you, I'm sure, are thinking, you've got to be kidding me. No. When you look in the mirror, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's truth. That's a truth. There's a lot of truths in the Bible. So I'm not exalting one over another because they're all his truth. But so that was the premise that I talked about a couple weeks ago. Well, been a couple months ago now. So today I want to talk a little bit about the Spirit, worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. Just to give you background, I grew up Pentecostal. So spirit, being spirit-filled or speaking with tongues, that sort of thing, was very much part of my growing up experience. So I need to tell you that because you need to know my background to know where I'm coming from. I am not talking about doctrine this morning. That's not my point. So I want to take us to 1 Corinthians 14:1-4. Let love be your highest goal. First of all, I love the fact that it's always kept in proper perspective. Let love be your highest goal. That's always the paradigm or the lens with which I'm looking at anything in Scripture. Let love be my highest goal. But you should, I'm reading from the NLT in case you're not looking at the wall. But you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God. Since people won't be able to understand you, you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit. But it will all be mysterious. But one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. But one who speaks the word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened. And then I'm going to go to 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. So there's, and different people use different terminologies. I'm not concerned with what you call it. You can call it your prayer language. This talks, it says speaking in tongues. But I want to talk a little bit about that today because modern science has talked about this a little bit. I am a little bit of a nerd, and I have a book. It's about this thick. It's DK. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of their books. I used to buy them for my kids all the time. But one came out about the brain. And not kidding, it's this thick. My kids bought it for me for Christmas because I am fascinated by the human brain. But up until the 1940s, the only studies that they did on the brain were cadavers. There was no way to study a human brain while you're alive. That has all changed. And now they can hook things up to your brain. They can see what fires, what doesn't fire. And there's a lot of science now about it. But they did a study in 2006. It was written up in the New York Times. And they studied people. They did two studies. And there are more of these. I'm only citing one. One of them was people singing. And they had singing gospel songs. That was what they had them doing. Your frontal lobe is where your logic is. That's where you reason. And when they were singing gospel songs, this frontal lobe was firing. I mean, it was going to town. They then did it when they were speaking in tongues. And the frontal lobe goes very, very, very quiet. And this says, for if I pray in tongues, my spirit is praying, but I don't understand what I'm saying. And I'm going to give you my own personal testimony about this. And there's, you know, some people, and again, whatever your background is, you may have seen people who, like, more violently, I would say violently, exuberantly, whatever, speak in tongues, and then people do it very quietly. I'm not quiet in any other way of my life except this. You couldn't hear me if you were sitting next to me. But for about 7 years, I went through a time in my life where I was in so much pain that I didn't have words to pray. I would come to the church and pray and just sit there, and I prayed in a prayer language, quietly. Again, if you were sitting next to me, you would not have heard me. But in that time, I felt like I could talk to God. It was like he was feeding me. This says, it strengthens you when you speak with tongues. It's not for other people, it's for you. And I experienced that very much myself, which has made me desire people to have that, because I was in great stress. And it gave me great comfort, because it was just a way of communicating with God. And I felt like my spirit communicated with him. I would be much more peaceful when I would leave from that experience. And so it was very impactful for that reason. So I wanted to talk to you about that test that they did, because I found it interesting that it confirms what the Bible says. This part goes quiet, but you don't lose track of where you are. I know who I am. I know where I am. I'm very cognizant in every other way. So it's not like I lose my mind or something like that. In fact, the study said that people who speak with tongues often have better mental health than other people. I thought that was interesting. So a couple weeks ago, I heard something that it made all this that we had been talking about on the worship team, about worshiping the Father in spirit and truth, have a different angle. And how many of you know what phantom pain is? Phantom pain is, I had a cousin who lost his hand in a machine at work. And so he just doesn't have a hand. And he would wake up in the night with severe pain in the hand that was not there. And they call it phantom pain. You don't have phantom pain in something you've never had. I always thought that when you have a third child, if God had just let you grow a third arm, that would be so amazing. But I've never had phantom pain in my third arm because I don't have one. But he talked about, he said, how many of you have ever seen a world without poverty? How many of you have ever seen a world without people treated without justice? How many of you have ever seen a world where children aren't abused? Has anybody ever seen a world like that? And yet, we long for that. And he said, this is the phantom pain of your soul. Because we were created in the image of God. And that's what he wants. And I started thinking about our prayer about that God would be exalted, that he would be revealed, that he would be encountered, and then that what our purpose is would be revealed to us. And it might be just an action today where you see somebody and you're just kind. That might be what needs to be revealed to you. It might be a project. God loves to give me projects. He must know I thrive on projects. But I believe God is calling us to for our spirit to communicate with him, that we would become worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth, so that he can reveal to you what are you supposed to be doing? How can you help people? How can you bring the temple of the Holy Spirit to Walmart? Or the temple of the Holy Spirit to where you work. And understand that it's this communion, if you can hear him, he talks. He talks all the time. It's just a matter of if we hear him or not. And I want to just alert you to listen. And the soundboard example that I had put up there, of course, I look at one every couple times every week. So it's something that's in my mind. But this ability to hear to turn some things down. Some things I don't listen to because they're cluttering to me. And I just don't listen to them, just simply. And some things are very good and nurturing to what I know God's purpose in me is, so I tend to gravitate to that. But you have, all of, everybody has that ability. I have a friend who listens to, she listens to political commentary all the time, and she's always angry. And I'm like, I don't like being angry. I don't like the feeling of being angry. I just don't like that feeling. But again, the other thing about this is this desire to have people not have poverty, have people not be hungry, have children not be abused, people not be abused. All of that is to try to accomplish that without God. It probably won't work. It's not sustainable because it's from Him. And He's the one that has the ideas about it. I wish I had all the ideas because I'm sure He does if we would just listen, that He has the way to take care of things. I realize there's evil in the world. Yes, I'm an optimist. A horrible optimist. I get it. But and I'm old enough now to know better. But I really believe that I believe people can change the world. If you remember a couple weeks ago when they had people come up here and say something this, but I'm just one person. And then there were 20 people up here saying I'm just one person. I believe in that. I believe in that. I believe that if we all started hearing what the word of the Lord is saying to the church, we could transform our city. I just believe that. And I love where I live. I don't want to move. I want to pray for my city. I want to pray for the leaders of our city. I want to pray for the leaders of our country. I want to pray for, because without prayer, we're in very deep trouble. So I want to, if the worship team would come up, I want to just ask you, they're going to sing a song, Holy Spirit, break us, come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There's nothing we want more. And some of you are very passionate about things, and I want to encourage you, find out what God intends for you to do with that passion. I know a family that just adopted 3 children. I can't tell you how much I admire that. That's not a good thing for me. But I admire people who do that because I know that that's the work of God on earth to take those children. Rather than beating myself up because I can't do that, because I might be crazy if I did that, I try to find other avenues where I can do the work of God, do what He's telling me to do in the earth, at Walmart, at my work, obviously in the church, but that's like a given. The 2 hours that you hear on Sunday, you're kind of in that mode. But it's not, this is just training ground for when you're somewhere else. But I wanted them to sing this song for you today, just to listen to the words and just let it sit for a minute. Again, I typically don't talk very long. You're going to be out of here so early today. Oh, dear. But, when I'm done, I'm done. But I just want to encourage you. I watched Martin Luther King's speech a couple weeks ago where he talked about having a dream where people would be judged by the by their content of their character, not the color of their skin. And I was reading the other day, again, I'm a little bit of a nerd, about ethnic cleansing and that sort of thing has been around for a very, very long time. So people not loving each other isn't new. And I wanted to say this to everybody that's here today, because I've been thinking about this a lot. I want to thank you for choosing to come here today. And I want to tell you why. A lot of us could gravitate towards going to church with people that look just like me. whatever you look like. And that could be, that means all kinds of things. One thing that can mean age. There's churches where most of the people there are a certain age. Young and old, whichever it is. It isn't, churches have been very segregated for many years based on ethnicity, but in more recent years it's by age. And so you chose to come to a church that everybody doesn't look just like you. I think that's what heaven looks like. And when we pray, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, I want to do what that is. And it isn't just coming to church for 2 hours on Sunday morning. It's doing life with people. And it has to be intentional, because we will not accidentally do that. I, by norm, go to work and go home. So, and I wanted to thank you, though, because I thought that's a different thing for people to want to do, to be willing to do, to cross over generational lines. Pastor Sam, that was here last week, made a comment. He said, your church has every age group. He said, most churches are really just kind of one, or they might have two, but not, we got the hope, we will not raise hands, everybody in their 20s. No, we won't do that today. That would be kind of fun, though. No, but I won't do that. But I just want you to know that I appreciate that you've made that choice, because I think it's good practice for heaven. But it's a good thing for our world to experience, because the world should be the leader in how we do things, not the terrible example, please don't do it like that. I would want for us to be that. So if you guys would please sing this song, I would appreciate it.
Spirit, break us, come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for. Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. We want more. Spirit, break us, come and overtake us. You're the one we're living for.
Holy Spirit, lead us.
Holy Spirit, lead us to the heart of Jesus. There is nothing we want more. We want more.
To live beyond ourselves, let everything we say and do bring glory to your name and bless your heart. God, show us how to love like you. We want more.
what the Father is seeking, and He is seeking worshipers who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I'm asking you to go to the scripture and ask Him to tell you what that is, so that we will all learn together. And when you learn more, your response will come, tell me what you learn. Because we are the body of Christ and we want to grow together. So if everyone would stand, please, if the prayer team would come forward. I just want to pray for you before Carl comes. Lord, we want to be what you seek. We want to be worshipers who worship you in spirit and in truth, and what that means. And we know we have limited comprehension of what you're saying to us, but we want more revelation of you, more encounters with you, more face-to-face times with you where we're changed in the presence of a holy God. I thank you so much for your spirit that comes to us and is patient to us. I thank you for your drawing spirit. I thank you that you are such an amazing God. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Sister Stephanie.